Hi, my name is Rebecca. I am a soprano and committee member with the Handful Chamber Choir in Bath. To give you some insights into the programming for our next concert titled Towards the Light, I'm having a chat with our musical director, Vicente Chavarria, and guest, Peter Ralph, who is the composer of Via Crucis, a piece that was commissioned by the Handful and will be premiered on the 19th of March.
Hi, Vicente.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi, Peter. Nice to meet you.
Hi, nice to meet you remotely.
Indeed.
Thanks for joining us today, Peter. It's really good to have you here.
No problem.
I've been enjoying getting to know your composition in rehearsal, but today I'd quite like to know a bit about you, how you work, how you created Via Crucis.
Well, first of all, thank you so much for agreeing to perform this piece of music. I'm really looking forward to hearing the premiere. So my name is Peter Ralph. I studied composition and music at the University of Aberdeen, then Cambridge, and then most recently I've been studying at the University of Bristol. And I've been mostly focusing on choral composition, choral music, and especially my research recently has been looking at the interface between text and music and ways in which we can use both of these things to help reimagine ideas and stories. And the Via Crucis seemed like a really wonderful text to choose. The main reason I chose it at the time was because it was going to be paired with some other repertoire. I think it was going to be performed alongside Allegri's Miserere and James Macmillan's Miserere, which are very sort of Lenten pieces, which we associate with the period of Lent, particularly just before Easter. So it seemed like a really good text to choose. It's important to probably state what the Via Crucis is just before we dive in. The Via Crucis is also known as the Stations of the Cross. So there's 14 stations traditionally. These are the things which happened to Jesus between his sentencing and his death and entombment. So it's quite heavy stuff. In my setting, I just use the text, the actual description of the text of each of the 14 stations with an additional quote at the start and the end, which is a very simple one, which is Jesu Christe crucifixi miserere mei, which means Jesus Christ is crucified, have mercy on me. When I was thinking about how to approach setting this music, I was looking at other rituals of prayer, of contemplation, which could go alongside it. And when I was thinking about it, I came upon the Lectio Divina. And that's a traditional monastic practice of scriptural reading. And it's got four stages. And I used those four stages to kind of create a four-part music structure, which the whole of this text is set to. So that's how Via Crucis came about.
Thank you. We commissioned this piece a few years ago.
Yeah.
And we were going to premiere it in March 2020. We don't need to say why that never happened, but it's really great to be doing it now. But casting your mind back, why did you think this was the piece for the Handful?
Well, it was to do with the nature of what you were looking for. And also it was based on listening to the Handful perform your previous performances, which you've got online, and listening to the Handful and hearing, the fantastic sound that you make. So that was all feeding in when I was writing this music.
Vicente, you weren't working with us when this piece was commissioned. So
correct.
We kind of just handed you something that was written for us. What were your first impressions of the piece?
I absolutely loved it. For starters, I love commissions. I love getting my hands on music that hasn't been done yet, because I think it's an extraordinarily important part of being a forward-looking chamber choir, as we describe ourselves, I think, very eloquently in our mission. And so, yeah, it was extraordinarily exciting. And I knew, obviously, once I got my hands on the piece, once I realized that, it's a musical Stations of the Cross, that it would be most appropriate to pair with music that is either Lenten or, in many ways, introspective, because the Stations of the Cross is a really introspective ritual within worship. And whether or not you're Christian, that doesn't really matter. It forces you to sort of reflect upon things like suffering, things like redemption and so forth, which are themes that I think ultimately transcend religious faith. And so it was nice to be able to build a program knowing that we had that anchor. It's been a wonderful piece. We've really I've been enjoying rehearsing it. We've really been enjoying learning it. It sings itself very easily. The choirs have taken to it like a duck to water, really. So it's been quite lovely. Yeah.
I was having a look through it again and thinking mm-hmm. about the piece. And in the front of the sheet music, Peter, you say that this is a meditative procession. Can you tell us why you describe it that way?
So there is the possibility of actually using this music to process around a church. So often in churches, you find the Stations of the Cross are actually on the wall as you go around the perimeter of the church. And often around Lent, you have services where people will go around each of the stations and contemplate. And so, as I'm sure people, when they hear the piece, will find out, there is sections of silence between each of the stations themselves. So theoretically, a choir could walk around a venue performing this and making it into an actual processional meditative piece. So that's where that came from.
It seems like this setting, it could have easily just been a storytelling exercise that we take you through. It's a story and we sing it, which it is in part, but it feels like there's more layers to it than that. I was having a think, it kind of feels like it's about the now. We're singing about it, but we're kind of reflecting about what those stations, what that story means for people. And so that contemplative, reflective side really comes across well. I don't know if I've completely misread that, but that's how it feels as a performer.
I'm very pleased that you said that, because that's the aim of what I seek to do as a composer, is to take these historic texts and to try and make them relevant and reimagine them for contemporary audiences.
I don't know, Vicente, if you felt that way.
Very much so, very much so. And again, it comes back to the idea of how do you relate what's in a specific story that can be looked at in multiple ways to something that people can connect with today. Like you said, it's very much about the now. It's about, you know, what each station means to each individual. For people, it might be very much a central part of their faith. For others, it might be a story that reminds them of an episode of their lives. Who knows? That's been one of the real joys, is finding those layers. But then also, once we've sort of rehearsed each bit and, you know, gone into detail and looked at what we need to fix and et cetera, then going back and as a piece of music, putting it together as one larger narrative. So it's twofold in that sense. Yes, you can look at it very introspectively, very personally, but there is a larger narrative to it. And so that challenge has been wonderful to just tackle, because I remember the very first time, once we've affixed a few details and we went back and just ran the whole piece, then people, I think, for the first time got a sense of what the entire narrative is. And yeah, it's quite wonderful to watch people's reactions in that moment, because that's when you know that they're relating to the piece in a way that goes beyond just chorister to sheet music.
Peter, is there anything particular that you're hoping to hear in the first performance of Via Crucis? Or do you just come along to performances and you're waiting to see what we've made from the instructions that you've put on paper?
Uh-oh.
As a composer, it is always really exciting to hear your music performed live, especially when you're the sort of composer who writes for live performers like myself. I think you sort of touched on something there. It's a bit like creating a blueprint when you write a score. You're creating a plan for a building, but when you give it to a builder, they will build the building themselves. And every time you might send the same plan to different builders, the house will look slightly different. It'll have their own intricacies. So it's really fun to hear what different choirs and different ensembles make my music. I always find that I get really interesting insights in my conversations with other people and other ensembles, talking about what they found effective in my music or what they would like to hear of more or things like that. I've always learned a lot from that process.
And of course, you're coming along to the concert and you're going to introduce Via Crucis in person, which is wonderful. Vicente, do you feel any extra pressure knowing that the composer's there?
In this case, I think I have enough confidence in us as a group to know that actually I'm quite excited to be able to present the composer with what we've done, because I have a very, very strong feeling that we're going to do a very good job that night. Yes, there's always that pressure, but it can be very good pressure of excitement when you're happy to say, look, here's what we've done. And so, yeah, I'm very pleased and excited to be able to do that.
The other thing to say is that it's just so exciting to be able to be sat down following this long period and be able to share in music making the dots of other people after such a long period of time. And that's something to really look forward to and cherish.
Yeah, and something we won't take for granted again. How would you describe this piece and the style, just to give people a bit of a flavour before they come along?
So to give it flavour, it's very much influenced by medieval plain chants. So I'm from the Lake District originally, so there's a lot of sort of Lake District folk influences in there, so they'll hear some of that. But overall, I think this structure based on sort of reflection will be the overriding impression I think most people get from it.
Great, thank you. Vicente, what other pieces have you programmed alongside Via Crucis, and how do they all fit together?
The other larger work is the Kodai Missa Brevis, which is an extraordinary piece with an equally extraordinary history, I think. The fact that Kodai wrote it in Budapest during the war, when he and his family and lots of colleagues were holed up in the basement of the opera house. I believe it had its first unofficial performance there, with just members of the opera house staff and Kodai on, I don't know if a harmonium or something, you know, just going through it. It's quite a wonderful piece. Kodai is an interesting character, both personally and musically, because he was such a fundamental figure in music education. There are moments in it where you feel that he's not just writing beautiful music, but he's also trying to teach you something at the same time. And I know that can sometimes come across as a negative. I don't think it's the case in Kodai. He really takes you on quite a journey in certain movements, like in the Sanctus, which goes harmonically just about everywhere, and then it comes back to a home key when you're least expecting it. And we're happy to have the organist emeritus of Bath Abbey, Mr. Peter King, who will be joining us on the organ for that. And there's also a few other pieces. We're doing one of the Strathclyde motets by James Macmillan. We're doing his Lux Aeterna, so as not to focus too much on death. Lux Aeterna is the communion antiphon at the end of the Requiem, which focuses on light. It's about the light of what comes afterward. There's also a beautiful setting of the Liberame Domine by Patrick Gowers, who famously wrote the score to the Granada television series adaptations of the Sherlock Holmes in the 80s and early 90s. And for the episode of the Priory School, where they have to go and solve the abduction of a young baron who was a pupil at that school, part of the soundtrack is that a motet, which kind of found a new life on its own. That's a beautiful, beautiful piece of music. There's also a beautiful psalm by the Spanish composer José Jordán, who is in his late 80s. He's still alive in northern Spain, and he wrote it as part of a complete psalter, as part of the movement post-Vatican II, after the Second Vatican Council opened the doors to a music in the vernacular. And so in Spain, he was part of a small group of composers that kind of led the charge in those days. And it's a beautiful setting of Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And I think we're quite enjoying doing that way. It's very simple, very straightforward, but absolutely glorious. The harmonic progressions are simple, yet very, very profound. And I think we're also enjoying polishing our Spanish.
I think Peter might like the story, Vicente, about how you came across this piece again.
Yes. So at my home parish in Miami, a previous priest, actually the priest who founded that parish in the 1960s, was from Spain, and he must have brought over with him a copy of that Psalter by José Jordán. And it was just left in the office for years, even after the old bloke had gone and even eventually passed away. And we in the music ministry used that psalm and another of his psalms at Christmas every year. So I've known that psalm for, you know, decades, literally. And I had no biographical information about the composer. I just knew he was a priest. I knew he came from Spain. So I did lots of digging on Google. After weeks and weeks of using specific searches, I came across his name in the history of the Order of St. John of God in Spain. And I just wrote them cold. I said, look, I have this piece. I have this wonderful Psalter. Can you tell me something about this composer, et cetera, et cetera. Didn't hear back for a few weeks. Went on holiday to Spain, completely unrelated. Landed in Stansted, opened my phone, and I had an email saying, hello, I'm Father Jordan. I'm 88 years old. I'm still living in my native Navarre. So I'm in touch with him. He's very happy that we're doing this at our concert. I don't think he's ever imagined that a choir in England would ever take to it. But yeah, it's been a quite a fortuitous encounter, I think.
I think that's really lovely, that story. It also fits in really well, doesn't it? The words are Christ on the cross.
Yes. We've tried to give the program both a Lenten feel, but also not exclusively. We don't want it quite to make it feel like you're coming to a service. It's great if you do. That's absolutely fine. But ultimately, it's about seeing how we can weave narratives of contemplation, of reflection through these texts that are quite timeless in many ways. So yeah, I'm excited. I think it's going to be a lovely concert.
Thanks, Vicente. And thank you for having a chat with us today, Peter. We're really looking forward to meeting you at the concert.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to meeting you as well. It'd be really great to come and meet you all in person and say hello and say thanks.
And thank you for listening. If you haven't already got your tickets, please go and get some. It's going to be an evening of splendid music and a world premiere, so don't miss out. Towards the Light is at 7:30 p.m. on Saturday the 19th of March at St Mary's Church, Bathwick. You can get tickets from Bath Box Office or find more information on our website, thehandful.org. We really hope to see you there. Bye.